Wake up. Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
And a good morning to you. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. It is a throwback Thursday today. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. Also, Josh Alper from ProFootballTalk.com. We'll talk to him about the league as we get closer to where training camps are. Is the league staying on its schedule? We have a couple of players testing positive for the coronavirus. What is the league going to do then? And I also want to know this because, you know, we've been talking about Major League Baseball, for example, and we've been going through the details. And one of the details that they say is, well, we don't want this season to go into November because if it goes into November and there's this second wave of the coronavirus, well, all hell could break loose and we could lose the postseason and we don't want that. Well, what about football? What about the NFL? What's the plan if there is a big second wave that comes in the winter, the fall and the winter, and it does dramatically affect the NFL season? Are there plans that are coming up and coming in place? What are the contingency plans that Roger Goodell and the league are going to be going through? And I also want to get an idea as to where the league is today on the Kaepernick story. Whether you're pro Kaepernick, he should be in the league, or anti Kaepernick, he shouldn't be in the league at all. This is going to be a story that comes out. This is going to be a story that's going to be played out as teams start looking at their rosters. And now with this feeling, this undercurrent of support for what Kaepernick was trying to tell everybody 4 years ago, does a team take him and put him on the roster as training camps, whenever they start, begin? Or is it going to be one of those things where teams go, boy, I really hope he gets an opportunity. Not here, but I really hope he gets an opportunity. Where is it? Because you can say all the things that the league is saying. You can be like Pete Carroll and publicly come out. But in the end, who is going to sign him? Who's going to bring him on board? Because here's the one question a lot of people are asking on Twitter and in conversations is, if you bring him in, if you bring Kaepernick in, can you cut him? Can you cut him? Or is it just getting the opportunity? Or does he not only have to have an opportunity and have an opportunity to be on the roster come opening day? That's the question. Josh Alper joins us this hour as well. But coming up next, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb. As we continue along, Tony D, Ron Culver, it's Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, so good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue along on Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. What is the good of the day, Mr. Culver?
The good of the day is that Daniel Cormier, UFC fighter extraordinaire, yeah. Everyone's heard of him. He's on a diet, and he's lost 24 pounds.
Really?
Yes. Which means that he is almost approaching the heavyweight limit of 265 pounds. Why this is good is because it means to me he had one hell of a quarantine.
That's right. Good for him.
Just like the rest of us. So I don't feel so bad when a world-class athlete of his stature kind of, had a little fun during quarantine.
I agree completely. Who needs Bryson DeChambeau working out every single day during quarantine?
This is who we are. Now we have someone that we can aspire to.
Exactly. Like, I want to be the guy that, like, calls the pizza place, like, well, I'll have a pizza, and my family will have a pizza. So if you could bring two, that'll be fantastic.
Yeah.
That was my quarantine.
The Jordan order, if you will.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. To see sort of athletes and even celebrities pack on a few pounds, it's great.
When we're all stuck inside and there's nothing for us to do.
That's right. That is right.
He's lost 24 pounds, which is, that's a monumental feat. Let's not sugarcoat
that. No,
that's
good.
And he is yet to reach the heavyweight limit.
Oh, wow.
This is a fighter, by the way, who used to fight at 205 pounds all the time.
Right, exactly. So he's working his way back after being away from the sport for a while.
There's no way he put on 100 pounds.
No, but
of food,
yeah.
But he must have, you know, just been slowly building up.
That would be insane if you, like, imagine if you were working with a guy every day at the old office. He had the cubicle next to you. And then you were like, we're doing a work from home thing for 5 months. And then you come back and you're like, holy cow, did he gain 75 pounds? You know, like, if he was completely different.
You know what it is? That's what all the people in the office must have felt when Tim Allen came in. From in the movie The Santa Claus?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, remember that?
Remember when he came in his sweatpants and they're all like, Scott, what happened to you?
Exactly. And they're all ordering food for their meeting and he's getting chocolate chip cookies and creme brulee and all that stuff.
Sundays and
yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly. So I wonder if these athletes was like the same thing. Like, oh, Jim, wow. So, look
I mean,
at you.
So they had to have, right? They had to have sat there and said, you know, I work out every single day of my life. Every single day I'm doing something. Now I'm in a position where I can't do anything. So why not just sit on the couch and binge watch Tiger King or whatever show we should be binge watching right now and just having a pint of ice cream every
exactly.
night?
Exactly. And remember, before there was a period of time, I remember where the experts were saying, don't even jog. Like, don't go jogging. Like, don't go outside. I mean, so you couldn't even go out and do anything.
You would see the stories. I mean, it seems so far removed. But remember, you would see stories like of a guy in Italy dressed as a tree. Just so you can go outside, or somebody was like walking their cat because you're allowed to walk your animal. Or walk, one guy was like walking his goldfish.
Yep.
Because you're allowed to walk your pets. And that was like an excuse to be outdoors. So he went around walking his goldfish.
That feels like 10 years ago.
It does.
It was not that long ago.
I mean, that's about a month and a half ago.
I swear. I mean, here in my town, restaurants went from, you are not going to be able to have a party of more than six. We will not accept you. To, party of 18, can I, and they're like, yeah, come on in. Sure, party of 18. We'll move all the tables we have to accommodate you and your child's 13th birthday party where the whole neighborhood is coming out to celebrate. Of course. I mean, we went from literally could not do that to doing that in a matter of weeks. And there was a period of time where they told you couldn't even go outside to take a walk. You could be killing your neighbors. So, yeah. Putting on a few pounds during quarantine was expected. So we were basically told not to move.
Yep.
Unless you had a Peloton in your house. Then, of course, you could ride.
Yeah, the ultimate Christmas present that we made fun of. That's that was we probably made the fun most of. Brilliant thing you could have ever purchased.
They must have known what we know now. Like, one day you'll all laugh at us. But that woman getting the Peloton was the bright idea.
I looked up the Peloton, too, saying, how do I finagle this bad boy?
I did, too. I was like, I need something in this house or I'm going to blow up.
Yeah.
Right?
My mom actually bought a exercise bike.
Yeah?
During the time. Like, she said, it was just a cheap one. But she said, I had to because she said, I'm just sitting here watching TV. Because she's a teacher.
Yeah.
So she wasn't allowed to go back to work. And so she's like, I just sit there, watch TV, and just munch all day. So at least now I can still do all that, but I'm riding a bike while I'm
riding
watching
a bike. Fantastic. All right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, I got to get to the Premier League. We got to go across the pond over to England.
All right, because I thought everything was going well with the Premier League.
Well, the Premier League started up yesterday. Yesterday was their first day back.
Right.
You know, they're back to school. And there were a couple of issues. One was the game with Sheffield United versus Aston Villa. I know I'm speaking in tongues to you when I say
that's
stuff
fine.
Like that.
That's fine.
Their VAR system failed them.
What's a VAR system?
The VAR system is they go to the video screen to determine if a goal was scored or not.
Gotcha, okay.
And it failed them miserably because there was a
goal.
I'm
sorry, don't they have a net that moves when such a thing happens?
Sometimes that ball just squeaks past the line. Well, this one was more than a foot behind the line and was still the goal was deemed not allowed. Like, it didn't score. They even went to the video replay and did not, I guess there wasn't enough evidence? I don't know. They did admit afterwards that they had made a mistake.
Okay.
But there was, you know, it was that. Then there was this player by the name of David Luiz, who was a defender for the Spanish national team for their World Cup run. I mean, he's a little on the older side of his career now. He debuted for a new team yesterday for Arsenal, which is a pretty big club.
Right.
And he probably had the worst day imaginable.
What happened to him?
He his first mistake that he made when he tried to clear a ball, whiffed on it, and that led to a goal scored against. And then he took down a player that wasn't even trying to hide it, and got a red card, so he was ejected from the game. But also that that penalty that he had was in the penalty box, which led to a penalty kick, which was scored, and Arsenal was defeated.
So basically he was responsible for giving up two goals.
He was responsible for them losing the game in his debut for his new team.
Gotcha. Well, that's well done.
Yeah, so I mean,
but is that the equivalent of signing a pitcher? Like, we got this great pitcher, and he's coming here to play for us here at the Red Sox. And the guy goes out and he gives up five home runs. And you're like, well, you know, he'll do better next time. But yeah, it was just a rough outing. Or was this like, holy cow, what did we do? Why did we bring him here?
Well, I mean, it's the equivalent of the first one you said,
right?
But if you asked any of the fans.
Oh, sure. They're losing their mind.
Yeah, they were, why did we sign him? Because he's a bum. He's old.
Do they have local sports talk radio in Premier League cities?
Yeah, of course they do. He's being blasted today.
Just blasted.
Just being just raked through the coals today.
Let's go to Ruben in Liverpool, line two.
Yes.
Is that kind of thing?
Yep.
That's what I would like to hear. I would love to hear that.
Yeah, of course, they have a lot of choice words that they use on their station.
I can only imagine.
They could be swear words. We don't know.
I don't know what their broadcast requirements are, but I'm sure there's plenty of that kind of language going on. I got you. All right. Dumb of the day. Go ahead.
I got two dumbs of the day. Yep. The first one is another reason why MLB is dumb.
Oh, well, because we haven't already expressed
because
as many
we haven't
of these...
expressed that. We got to go back to yesteryear for this one. I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
How many home runs did Babe Ruth have?
714. 875.
He actually had 715 home runs.
Okay.
The reason being, he had a walk-off home run back in like 1918 when he was with the Red Sox.
That they forgot to count?
No, they did not count it because there was a guy on first, and once he scored, it was a tied game.
Oh, yeah. No,
once
I've
he
heard
scored,
of this.
They gave Babe Ruth a triple because how can he have a home run? How can he score when the game was over when that guy scored?
I have heard of this.
And so
yeah.
Major League Baseball has gone back, and there's like 18 different incidences where this has occurred.
Boy, we really, really wish we knew that back in 1973.
But what was really funny about that is that Babe Ruth, you know, some of the writers or even some of the statisticians wanted to give him a home run, but the writers they were furious over it. They were saying, well, if that's the case, then why not, I can't remember who the guy was, bring back this guy from the dead because he was executed in a state that no longer has the execution policy.
Yeah, good point.
So, it goes to show you, I mean, how much baseball really cares about its stats.
It's amazing, isn't it, that you can, that there are people today that can call up a game from like 1892 and go, oh, there's a discrepancy. We got to fix that. There are people who dive into this. It is the most statistically based sport we have where numbers matter so much. It's crazy.
Yes, it's ridiculous.
And the thing is that if you mess with the numbers, you mess with so many other things. It's one of the reasons when people say all of Bonds' home runs shouldn't count. I'm like, well, if you take them off the board, you're giving wins to teams. You're putting teams in the playoffs that shouldn't have been in the playoffs. There's a whole trickle down effect. You can't just cancel home runs. You're not just canceling that. You're canceling the runs. You're canceling the ERA. There's a whole bunch of things that go for every at bat.
We've talked about the fact that how Major League Baseball should just give Armando Galarraga the perfect game.
That's exactly right.
We found an incident where it's not going to determine anything.
That's right.
Then again, does it? I don't know.
I don't know. That's right. I mean, so you just got to let the numbers be what the numbers are and don't mess around with them because it's part of the fabric of the game. You're 100% right. It's really the only sport that will do that to its history. Whereas football is like, well, we have stats. Don't get us wrong, but we're not married to the numbers.
Right.
NBA is not married to its numbers, but baseball is not only married to the numbers.
I mean, do you think they'll ever go back and go, well, you know, Drew Brees didn't really have 60,000 yards.
Right.
He's at 59.99.
Is anybody going back and like reviewing tape just to make sure that yardage is accurate? Right? No. But in baseball,
they will.
They triple check these things, man. They'll break down a box score like nobody's business. That's amazing. That is so true. Right. And your second dumb.
The second dumb of the day, I got to give to the Carolina Panthers.
All right.
Held a poll on Twitter asking the fans who the GOAT of the franchise has been.
And they said...
You ready for the choices?
Yeah.
Julius Peppers.
Steve Smith.
Luke Kuechly. That's it. I'm done.
That's it?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Are you noticing a glaring omission?
I know, right? Really?
Probably. Well, I think the only MVP they've ever had.
I know. A guy who's still looking for a job.
I mean, you know, number one overall pick who actually lived up to the hype.
He was the franchise face. He led them to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So did Jake DeLone, but don't get me wrong. Cam Newton was 15-1. MVP led them to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but not good enough to make their GOAT list.
It was one of the greatest seasons. I mean, it didn't win the Super Bowl, but it was one of the greatest regular seasons we've had in a couple of years. It's right up there, certainly.
I mean, and I'm not going to take anything away from Julius Peppers, Steve Smith, Luke Kuechly. All fine players. And I'm not even sure if Cam Newton is the GOAT of the franchise. But he at least deserves to be on the list.
Yeah, he's at least in the poll, right? I mean, he's at least... You know how like sometimes these sports will give you like its nominees? Like, here's the Hall of Fame nominees, and you can go, no, he's not going to make it. That's not going to, you know.
Yeah.
At least put Cam Newton in a poll of the greatest players of the franchise history. Like, he at least belongs in the conversation with those guys.
Yeah.
Come on, Carolina. Stop it.
Is there that much bad blood?
That's what I'm wondering, right?
Is there that much petty with the Panthers right now to go, we can't include Cam, can we? No, we can't include Cam.
God,
we're mad at Cam.
You got to be kidding. He was, you're right, number one overall pick that worked out.
Yes.
He wasn't a bust.
I mean, think of all the number one quarterbacks that have gone in that era. I mean, Cam Newton's really the last one we can point to
exactly.
And say, you made it.
Goodness, oh, that's great. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb on the Throwback Thursday. It's Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.
You ding-a-ling.
Whoa, whoa.
Yeah, yeah, you're my ding-a-ling.
Yeah, yeah.
'Cause you've got everything.
Whoa, whoa.
Every single thing it takes to make a swing.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Throwback Thursday, 1960, U.S. Open, Arnold Palmer. Winning at Cherry Hills in Denver. By the way, Robert on Twitter and at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. 1960, the year of my year of birth. Soon thereafter, Motown music burst on the scene. That's another one that's like I'm sure people heard for the first time and went, "Oh, thank God!"
Yeah.
Oh God!
You didn't like the lyrics to this song?
Oh yeah, exactly. Oh, thank God, we got some music here. Pirates won in dramatic World Series. Yeah, Bill Mazeroski beating the Yankees. Walk-off home run that won the World Series. Joe Carter did the exact same thing. Yeah,
it counted.
It counted. Crossed the plate. Pirates won the World
Series.
Was
it scored as a triple?
That wasn't scored as a triple is right. Hey, when you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com, just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. Now you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Coming up in 10 minutes, Josh Alper will join us from Pro Football Talk as we'll talk some NFL as we get closer to the start of training camp. About a month is when some of them were to report, like the Hall of Fame game, right? Because the Steelers are going to play the Cowboys in the Hall of Fame game. They would be one of the teams that would report early, probably in about a month, maybe 5 weeks. Everybody else a week or so later towards the end of July. But what's the plan now? I mean, you got some of the Cowboys have tested positive for coronavirus. A couple of other players around the league have. What's the league thinking about how the preseason is going to look? What's the what's regular season going to look? What are some contingency plans in place in case there is a second wave? And I also want to talk to him about Colin Kaepernick, because that's still going to be a storyline about whether or not he lands on the roster of a team. And as I said at the top of the hour, and this is a question a lot of people are bringing up, which is if you bring Kaepernick in and you sign him and he's in your camp, Can you cut him? Like, what will be the look? What are the optics of bringing him in to cut him? Will you be accused of just playing, you know, playing politics, playing, you know, playing the, you know, sort of the PR game? Well, we gave him a chance. Look, we gave him an opportunity and he couldn't make our team. Well, is he going to, or does he have to stay on the roster? Are people going to look at you sort of with that cynic eye saying, look, you know, you didn't really give him a fair shake. You only gave him an opportunity because you promised him an opportunity, or you talked the big talk about giving him an opportunity. Look, I know, listen, I don't get into politics here, and it's a choice I've made. I don't go down that road because I don't think it's what you guys want. I think we talk sports and all pop culture and fun and entertainment. So I'm going to just tell you flat out. I'm the worst of the political pundits out there. I'm the guy that gets told I'm going to get squashed, right? Because I am middle, right? People say if you go down the middle of the street, you're going to get run over. Well, then call me roadkill because that's who I am. That's the way I am. I have voted for both parties in my life. Okay. I am a person that, you know, doesn't like high taxes, but I also see some social issues that I think one other side doesn't address. So I voted for both parties in my life. I am middle of the road. All right. Call me boring. I don't care. That's it. So to me, I see people, I see the legitimacy of people who say Colin Kaepernick deserves every opportunity to play in this league. He's 32 years old, right? He has deserves every opportunity to take a shot. To go to camp. He is a former Super Bowl participant. I know that was years ago. And I know he's not the same player. And I know this league waits for nobody. And it really is a what have you done for me lately league. Just because you led a team to a Super Bowl and an NFC championship game, injuries and time and the pace of play and all of that can wear on anybody. And before you know it, you're out of the league. We've seen it time and time again. Right. There have been Super Bowl champions that couldn't find a job the next year. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl and he got replaced by Elvis Gerbach. So that doesn't mean anything. OK, but as Ron and I have done for 2 years on this show, we've said time and time again, look, there's more to the Kaepernick being out of this league than talent. Right. There are plenty of quarterbacks who are getting an opportunity to showcase their skills and actually play in games that don't deserve to be playing in games. That cannot play at this level because we don't have 32 really good quarterbacks in this country. We don't have 20 really, really great quarterbacks in this country. And yet he can't find a gig amongst the bevy of backups. All right. It's because of his stance. It's because he took a knee for the national anthem. And I also see the people on the other side says the anthem means a lot to me. The anthem means a lot to a lot of people. I love this country and I don't like people disrespecting it. And I've always said, look, I think it muddled the message. And what he was trying to say got lost in the shuffle. Right? If you've heard me say that time and time again. But when I hear political pundits, and this goes out to the right especially, right? The Ben Shapiro's of the world, the Sean Hannity's of the world, the guys who make their living promoting a political point of view. They need to be more honest about their assessment of Colin Kaepernick. Maybe the sports world isn't a world they dive into on a daily basis, right? But when I hear them say, well, you know, the only reason Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job is because he's not good. That is completely false. Because one, we don't know because nobody is giving him an opportunity. And two, you will never convince me, a guy who watches this league and follows this league 24/7, that guys like Luke Falk are a better option, that Blaine Gabbert is a better option, that Nathan Peterman is a better option than a guy that has played in this league effectively. His final season with the 49ers was at a time where he was coming off injuries and the team was terrible, absolutely terrible, and he was playing for a coach that didn't want him. Now, those are excuses, but again, it's reality of where he was in his final season. So again, when I hear the people who try to dive into sports a little bit, try to convince me that all of these coaches would gladly take him on board if he could throw a forward pass, that's not true. And we know that's not true. Now, again, you don't have to be a Kaepernick supporter, but you at least have to acknowledge that reality, that he wasn't allowed to play in this league because they didn't want the headache. And it had nothing to do with his ability. If you want to make this 100% about his ability, that's the wrong argument. Right. And that is my frustration. Again, I'm middle of the road. I have seen this issue both sides. I did not like the way the message got muddled because I think he was trying to tell us something important. that nobody wanted to listen to, that everybody made it something else. But I also understand that this league, it was a headache. It's a headache they didn't want, that now they admit was a headache. And now here's an opportunity this summer to give them an opportunity.
Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It is Throwback Thursday. We're going all the way back to 1960 on this state, Cherry Hills in Denver, Colorado. Arnold Palmer wins the U.S. Open, fires a final round 65, gets that 280, beats Jack Nicklaus, a 20-year-old kid out of Columbus, Ohio, and Ben Hogan. To win his first U.S. Open championship. Josh Alper joins us, ProFootballTalk.com, as we get on our Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. How are you, Josh?
I'm great.
Good. Josh, I know it's a concern, but how much of a concern with the latest report that a couple of players have tested positive for the coronavirus for the league?
Well, I think it's just the reality of life. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in training camp. It'll probably happen in the season, and how teams are set up to deal with that is going to be one of the big storylines. I think we're going to hear a lot about how coaches set themselves up in order to make sure they can have a competitive team on Sunday if they were to lose, you know, five guys for a game or two because of positive tests.
From a standpoint of when facilities are opening up for players and coaches to work out, where are we now? Are we waiting for certain areas of the country? Because it might be fine in state A, but state B might be very difficult.
Well, I think where we are with every team is guys who are hurt can go and rehab at the facilities. You know, we saw this week Brandon Brooks of the Eagles,
right,
for his Achilles working out at the Eagles facility. So he was working on a shoulder injury. So guys can be there for that. But other than that, I think it just became let's just push it to training camp, because, as you said, there are some differences from place to place. Some places where players wouldn't be allowed back in to have had some kind of a mini camp before the end of the off-season programs. And I think for most teams, we've already seen them close up their off-season programs, because, look, this has been a mentally draining off-season. It clearly had taken effects on us in a lot of different ways, starting with COVID and then, you know, George Floyd's murder, and all of this has been, it's been trying times. So I think everyone, it's a good idea to, you know, decompress a little bit before training camp, which is going to bring this whole new set of hurdles and challenges and logistical issues to figure out. So, you know, I think that was the basic thought process. It was just, there was no reason to try and rush it back at the end of June when you're going to be there in July anyway.
And we'll get to some of the social issues with the league. Staying in camp for a second, from the rookies coming in who have not been able to work out, have not been able to work with their, how is the learning curve going to be adjusted? Is it just, hey, look, it's just going to be what it is. You'll get your work in, and you get your work in, and here we go. Is there going to be another way for sort of the learning gap to sort of be shortened because training camp is, or the beginning mini camps have not been able to go on?
I think if it's feasible, I think you'll see some sort of adjustment to the reporting date to give rookies and first, you know, maybe even players new to a team beyond rookies a chance to get into the facilities earlier than, you know, the actual reporting date, and start that work and get maybe, you know, a de facto rookie minicamp right there, and then let them ease their way into the full team work after that. But given all of the logistical hoops to jump through, I don't know that that's possible. It may be, I think probably more likely that you're going to lose a preseason game or two just to get teams more time on the practice field without putting them in a competitive situation so quickly.
Roger Goodell's public statements on the social unrest that's going on in this country, where the league stands with that, without mentioning Kaepernick's name, how did that go off with the players? What's the early read from the way the players reacted to what the commissioner was saying?
I think it's twofold. One is that it's too late, and one is that it's a necessary first step for anything resembling the kind of progress that they're hoping to see. It was absolutely vital for him to respond to that powerful video that the players made, where they clearly laid out what they needed. They wanted to hear the league say, and they wanted to see the league do. he said the words. Now the action has to follow. And I think that's true across the board. I think everybody has to follow up words with actions that create lasting, positive, and meaningful changes. So I think that the dialogue is very much active and will continue. And I think it's, you know, you heard Patrick Mahomes say he's spoken to Goodell. Other players have spoken to Goodell. I think that's another necessary part of it, is for ownership of the team owners and the league itself to really listen to players and really partner with them in a way to move forward, because I think it's going to take everybody.
From the standpoint of Kaepernick, the league, there seems to be now this swell of, well, we should have been paying attention 4 years ago, and maybe there was some reasons he was not in this league that we're now going to acknowledge. Do you think his phone rings? Do you think there's a team that takes him? Or is it one of those situations where teams would like to see him in the league, but not necessarily with them?
Oh, I think there's definitely teams in that latter category. And I do think that, you know, I think that if this summer were to pass without him trying out for teams and or signing with a team, you're just going to see the problems go all over again, because it's all well and good for Roger Goodell to encourage teams to do it. But, you know, remember, he works for the owners. He has no power to make that happen. He has no power to get him on the team. So I think it is going to take an owner to speak up and do more than issue a statement and say, look, let's bring him in right here. And just to tie it back into the COVID stuff, I think that creates an opportunity, because I think every team's going to want to have at least three quarterbacks on hand because of the possibility of positive tests and what that'll mean. And even if that, you know, one of those quarterbacks isn't in the same practice facility, same quarterback room every day, because they don't want to be exposed, I think that offers a chance to get Kaepernick in, bring him up to speed without any sense that you're bringing him into play right away, but you want to have a really capable alternative in case you have to turn to someone at a moment's notice.
There is a question that keeps rising up via social media, or just pundits who have been saying it, and they all keep saying the same thing. It is one thing to bring Kaepernick in. What do you do if you're the team that has to release him? What if in the end he can't play? He's not suited for what you do. Can a team release him without getting the kind of scrutiny that they think is going to come at them, or the cynicism that's going to come at them?
That's a very good question. I think there would be cynicism regardless. I think, though, that if you brought him in and put him on the field and he played really poorly, I think you could be at least point to that in some sense of good faith and say that that's why. Now, bringing him in July in a crazy off season after so much time away from the game, and then cutting him, you know, that's the part where it's really easy to be cynical, unless you then turn around and bring him back to your practice squad, which I don't know that that's something Kaepernick would do. I don't know how that would play out. But, yeah, look, it is something that is fraught. But, you know, it's a bet of the NFL's own making.
What did you make of Pete Carroll's comments that they had talked about it, they had talked about bringing him in? And to me, it seems Monday morning quarterbacking, to sort of use that cliche. But was there a feeling that that was genuine, or was that something that he was just playing to the crowd at the time?
Well, look, we knew that was something that was being danced around in the past, and it was something that always made sense because of the strength of Pete Carroll as a coach, the style that Russell Wilson plays, and the fact that the Seahawks wouldn't be creating a quarterback controversy by saying to Kaepernick, you're absolutely a backup and you're only going to play in emergency. So it's one of those situations that makes a great deal of sense for a quarterback like Kaepernick. As for what Pete Carroll was saying now, yeah, I mean, it felt a little bit like, what exactly is the point of discussing this at this point? So right. The time to really talk about it was when he was, you know, talking to you and a possibility to actually sign. If you're not going to do anything now, don't hold yourself up to some better standard because you at least considered it.
Let's get to the coronavirus situation. Major League Baseball is dealing with this where they say, well, we don't want to go too far into the winter because the second wave could hit, cancel our postseason. Well, the NFL will go into the winter. Has there been an idea of what that might look like? Has there been talk of some level of contingency if a second wave does hit the country, especially the sport?
I'm sure there has been, and you know, you've heard the chief medical officer of the NFL talk about that possibility. I don't think, though, I think based on everything the NFL has done, they've been, we're going ahead full speed, and we'll make a change if needed. Right. They're not going to talk about that contingency plan. They're not going to tell you what that is because their plan, their hope, their goal is to go from week one to week 17 to the Super Bowl without any interruption. I don't know if that's, I don't know if anyone knows that's, I know no one knows that that's possible, but you know, they've been questioned at every turn. And so far everything has gone off this offseason as well as it possibly could. Now, obviously, you didn't have that on-field work.
That's true.
A necessary component of any football season. But I think that we're going to know more in a month and 2 months and 3 months than we know now about mitigation and control and hopefully some kinds of therapies and preventatives that could greatly change the landscape for everybody. So I think they're just going to continue moving forward and using the time that's been their biggest advantage from the very start of this being the only league that wasn't in season and you know, continue to try and leverage that towards getting where they want to be.
All right. Some normal stuff for the league in terms of what we would be talking about anyway, COVID or non-COVID. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, are they close to an extension?
You know, it doesn't seem like it. It doesn't seem like there's been a fundamental change in stance. Now, the next couple of weeks until July 15th, maybe the deadline makes the deal. That's always been the case. That's often been the case with franchise tag players. And if not, though, I don't know that there's much sense for Dak Prescott to accept anything other than, you know, this massive, massive deal. And if he's not going to get it, he might as well wait for Patrick Mahomes to get his contract and see what the market really is going to be.
And then you mentioned Brandon Brooks. I mean, this is a three-time Pro Bowler, and the Eagles' offensive line, he's one of the catalysts for a good offensive line that they've had. But it, big deal, little deal, no deal in missing the upcoming season.
Oh, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal when he got hurt a couple of years ago. It really affected them. They have some depth there. They're, you know, Larry Warford's still a free agent after being released by the Saints. They could. Jason Peters is a free agent. I don't know that they'd really want to kick him into guard. Or move Andre Dillard or do anything like that. But there are some options out there. And it's certainly something that, an experienced Eagles offense can work around and still be successful. But it's a big deal and a big loss.
Cam Newton, what's the plan for Cam Newton? Is it to wait till camps open up and then just be able to show up? I mean, if he's looking for a signing, how does that come about amidst what we're going through with COVID?
Well, I think the first would be if there's some move that the NFL says it's okay to work players out at a facility between now and camp. Maybe somebody brings him in to have a look. Someone who either looking or is just amenable to giving Cam Newton a chance to get on an NFL field and get examined by an NFL doctor after such a long wait. But I think it probably makes sense for him to wait and see if someone gets hurt, because then all of a sudden Cam Newton is a very appealing prospect.
Right.
You know, Jay Cutler did it with the Dolphins a couple of years ago. You know, we've seen it happen with Teddy Bridgewater getting hurt, obviously, and that Sam Bradford trade. That would seem to be the best kind of spot for a player who doesn't seem particularly keen on going in to be a backup.
Josh Alpert, ProFootballTalk.com. We covered a lot of ground. Great talking to you, and thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure. Have a great one.
You got it. Josh Alpert is on our Progressive guest line. Quote, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. All right, some of the nuggets that he talked about, we will readdress here on Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio. Dum, dum, dum.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Roy Orbison, 1960, Throwback Thursday. Arnold Palmer winning the U.S. Open at Cherry Hills in Denver. All right, we kind of closed out with some good music.
Yeah.
All right.
I love how
some of that
you didn't
stuff
have
today
to,
was.
You didn't have to ask who this was. You just knew exactly who this was.
Yeah, exactly. I think most people would, but that's thanks for acknowledging that.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks to Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk. So there's a couple of interesting things there One, he thinks Kaepernick is going to get on board. I still don't. I don't. I'm not saying that I don't think. I think
he tries out.
Do I think he's going to be on a roster opening day? I still am saying no. I still think this league wants to say the right things and not act. Right, I think there is just going to be 32 teams that go, no, you should sign him. You should sign him. No, you should sign him. He should be on a roster, but not my roster, but he should be on a roster.
Here's
and that means
question.
Nobody signs him.
Here's my question is that Anthony Lynn came out and said, you know, he's interested in signing Kaepernick to the Chargers.
Right.
Is this more like a marketing ploy than, I mean, it's twofold. One, okay, you know, we get Kaepernick back in the league. But the Chargers are hurting for fans. Does this actually put fans in the stands?
See, that's what I'm curious about.
Because, I mean, and honestly, look at it. Kaepernick and Tyrod Taylor are similar players.
Here's why I'm cynical, man. This is the thing that comes back to me, right? I know people can change their mind. And look, I'd be more than happy. I will be more than happy to say I was wrong if opening day occurs and he's a backup for somebody, all right? I'll be more than happy to say, all right, I missed this one. The reason I don't think he will is because I don't see in 4 years the reason why you were shunning him in the first place going away. That vocal group that was adamant that they were going to turn away is still going to be there if you bring them on board. And I think this league is filled with owners that will say the right things but not act.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. I think if there's one team that says, look, let's bring them in, we kind of want
nobody watches us anyways. Nobody,
right? I mean, that could be the team he lands with. That could be the team that does pull the trigger on a Kaepernick deal.